afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, good morning. Welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. Joining us today is me, Pat Francis.
And hi, I'm Gary Lucy. I am 4-star certified in indie rock, classic rock, 90s alternative, 80s collection, 70s collection.
But not classic rap.
Not classic rap, no. As it turns out. That's Matt Belknap.
That's my turf.
Yes.
Classic rap.
Never
I like
comes
that.
Up on this show, but in song pop, yes, 4-star certified.
A lot of song pop, playing a lot of song pop.
Have you ever seen a 5-star anywhere?
I've never seen a song, because think about how long it takes to get 4-star. Like,
what is the equation?
Closer.
What is the equation? Is it like a multiple of 10 or 100 every time you go up? Because the first, from 1 to 2, is like 5 songs.
Cinchy. I don't know, but I think it's a number of songs in a row is a factor.
Oh.
Because, yeah, if you, like, kind of miss that song 4, yeah. Then you don't get any more.
I thought it was just how many you got over time.
World. What is your, both of you answer this question at the same time, mm-hmm. and overlap and talk okay. over each other.
Sure, good.
Now, what's the hardest category on song pop for you, Matt?
Well, the one that I've only played once that Gary challenged me in was classical. That was pretty hard. Crooners isn't as hard as I thought it would be. What is the hard? I don't know. Jazz is really hard. I barely ever played that.
Industrial is hard,
yes.
Because there's no handles. There's no, like, you know, yeah. Sometimes you could intuit something either by listening and hearing a lyric or like, well, this sounds like a woman.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever messed with that.
There's no hook or chorus or melody.
Exactly. There's a dial tone.
I mean, the hardest one I've literally ever played is when, because you can get random challenges from people, and someone from France challenged me, and they were playing a French genre.
Wow.
It was all French music, and
that's
I was like, well,
awesome.
There's no way I can play it.
Did you guess Zubi Zoo from Mad Men? It's the only French song you know, Zubi Zoo.
If it came up, I would have been all over it. I mean, they didn't even give me, like, maybe some Blondie. She speaks French sometimes.
So before we started recording, you and Gary were going to tell a story, and I said, save it. You were going to tell
you guys are
having a song pop
petty,
battle.
This is petty bitching, but at the end of the week in song pop every week, you're playing weekly tournaments, and so, like, you're going back and forth. Gary and I were tied last week going into Sunday, and I was foolish enough to play. I played another game, and which I shouldn't have done.
You got to know when to hold
it. I should have just left it alone and been satisfied with the tie.
Yeah.
But we played another game, and he busted country classics on me.
Oh,
no.
The biggest BS category.
No way.
Why do you know that stuff?
It's great American music.
And how many did you get right?
I don't even remember.
Got them all right, but it took me 9 seconds.
I poach off of the other person. If they went first, I just answer whatever they answer.
That's a way to do draft and then just like go for broke.
Right.
On the
final question, yeah. Just see if you can get it quick and win. But
that's cool.
And you've scored like in the 22,000s.
I have broken the 22,000, the mythical 22,000 barrier.
Crazy. I don't think I've done 21 yet. I'm like a Jamie Moyer. Like I'm not that fast, but I could get some guys out. But,
yeah. You're pretty deadly.
Gotta trick people. But looking forward to Sunday. Yeah.
So you're cool. You're right now up 2 on me or something, and I feel like I have a slight chance to get back in this one, but not.
We should play it on the air. Maybe next show. Anyway,
next show.
Fun.
That'd be fascinating.
Do it next show.
Anyway, there's something else that we need to talk about.
What's
real
that?
Fast.
Oh, yes, say it.
Someone else is getting a little something extra on the side. Huh? A little another music podcast. He decided to see other podcasts.
I thought I told you guys about that.
What are you guys doing?
Do you know Matt Price?
No.
I told you about this when it was starting. Matt Price, yes, you do. You met him here.
Matt Price, great writer, producer.
He was on Men of a Certain Age.
Yes. He's doing a music podcast?
Yeah, but it's stories from...
It's like comedians telling stories about music, maybe bands they were in.
Or like a concert they went to.
And you're producing that?
Yeah.
And it's if you like rock solid, it's called Whale Cave.
Yeah.
I won't tell you why, but you should listen to it.
I say if you like rock solid, you'll hate that show.
No, it is
two totally different shows, and they're both great.
Very different. They really complement each other. I think if you like one, you'll like the other. And I love Matt Price. So when I met him, I was like, oh, this guy, he is a kindred spirit. I don't just want to be friends with him. I want to be best friends with him. And, came on a little strong maybe. And, he's kind of like a low-key guy. So you can imagine all that energy. So he likes me. We've done shows and we're a palsy. But someday, I'll wear his.
You guys do have a lot of overlapping tastes in music.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. He loves Wilco.
Yeah.
And it's a fun show. Andy Daly was on it, told a really funny story.
Well, if he never ever needs a guest who can tell some autograph signing stories, I'd be happy to.
we'll I think that's actually right a really good idea.
That might be right in the wheelhouse.
You should
of that
be on.
Show.
I will do
my best to sabotage said show and get it off of the air.
We don't need fancy guests because we give prizes.
We do give prizes, but you know what? Let's jump right into the show instead.
Oh, sorry, okay.
But I do have prizes, but we'll jump right into the show because I want to get the show under our belt so that we can get on with the next show and get fucking finished with this.
Whoa! You mean fucking?
Preston is here with us today.
Yeah,
he might peep in later, but
he's ear muffining now, so I could swear.
His mom found a Pilates class on Inconvenient Groupon. It's this new site that it's only available now.
Okay.
So he decided to come here and...
So she's Pilating it?
Yes.
Pilating?
Is that a 3DS?
That's a DSi.
DSi. I sold mine when we moved, but I had the even older than that one. I was kicking it with the original DS.
Nice. That's when it was just D.
He had some breakthrough yesterday in the Pokemon game, and it was like, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I don't know. It's like, that's it's weird. It's different. Kids today are different. I'll leave it there.
I'll do this contest real quick. I have two CDs to give away. They're the Loverboy Rock and Roll Revival CDs, compliments of Frontier Records. This is three original new tracks and then re-records of the classic hits. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. And here's the contest, folks. I'm going to take the first two correct answers. Send your answers to pat@popculturebeast.com. Here's the contest. A couple weeks ago, my wife's upstairs in her office. I'm downstairs cleaning the house. I had my music cranked up really loud. Pilar
doesn't sound like a contest at all. It's just an anecdote.
Pilar comes down to talk to me. She's trying to tell me something. And the music's really loud, and she's not turning it off and not asking me to turn it off or anything. And she gets so frustrated that all of a sudden she says, "Fuck this music."
Yes.
So now I'm going to name six.
Preston heard that one.
Yeah. I'm going to name six CDs. The first two people who can tell me what was playing when Pilar said, "Fuck this music," wins the Loverboy CD. So was it Asia Alpha? Was it Foreigner Head Games, UFO Seven Deadly,
oh, man.
Kiss Sonic Boom, Joe Walsh Analog Man, or The Fix Beautiful Friction? Now, let me tell you something. Any one of those at any time could elicit the response.
I thought it was a deadlock on yes until you brought up UFO.
Yeah.
How long has that been percolating inside of her?
I know, but she was so angry. I'm like, wow, because she never gets like that, so it was crazy. Okay, Gary came up with a fantastic topic for this week's show. So, Gary, I'm going to let you introduce it, and you can start it up.
Sometimes you can tell what a song's name is just by listening to it, because it'll say the name of the title in the chorus. We've learned that from Song Pop.
Right.
Like Call Me Maybe.
Exactly. It repeats it over and over again so you know what to ask for when you go to the record store. But sometimes there's songs where the title of the song is not mentioned.
No.
And some of the great songs in the world are like that. And
right.
I don't know if there's a story behind it, or maybe, maybe we'll explore, maybe we'll find out. So these are all going to be songs that don't mention the title of the song within the lyrics.
And Gary calls this Identity Crisis.
Identity Crisis. I don't know. What's my name? Who's my daddy?
This is like Born Identity.
Exactly.
Doesn't know who he is.
Sometimes you're Jeremy Renner. You don't even know. So I'm going to start off one. This is probably the greatest album I ever got in the dollar bin It was a cassette of an album called Joy Rides for Shut-Ins by a band called the Cave Dogs out of Boston. And the chorus goes, with a machine gun, with a machine gun, with a machine, with a machine, with a machine. So naturally, the name of the song is Tater Country on Rock Solid. Cave Dogs, 1991 styley on Rock Salad. Somehow Jane is friends with one of the Cave Dogs on Facebook, and I don't know how that came to be.
Hmm. And the name of that song one more time?
Tater Country.
Tater Country.
Yeah.
So, what would you have named that song?
With a machine gun maybe.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, what's your example of this?
My example of this is a classic song from 1970. Everyone knows this song. You'll know it immediately when you hear the opening riff. And yet, the title of the song is not spoken anywhere in the song. This is Paranoid.
Ah, yes.
I think that's good. We know Paranoid.
I would have put money down that he says Paranoid somewhere in there.
Nope, he does not.
That's crazy.
You know Paranoid, just because they don't say the name of you in the song doesn't mean people aren't talking about you.
That's right.
Like we are right now. That's probably the song, the first song you learn to play. Like you take guitar lessons and they make you play Michael Row the Boat Ashore or something like that.
Yep.
Then you get out on your own. You're like... Good one, Pat. That's a good one.
Did you guys ever try to learn guitar?
Yeah. I got some Mel Bay guitar books, and I like took a lesson here and there, and I could fake it a little bit. How about you?
Yeah, I messed around. I don't know. I guess, but when I was like in my late 20s, it was when I was really into Tenacious D. I was like, I got to get an acoustic guitar. I gotta do this. And so I learned the major chords that you need to play Tenacious D.
I don't have any regrets in my life, but I do wish I would have learned to play guitar. My wife got me one for my 40th birthday, and a total surprise acoustic guitar, and it's now my oldest daughter's guitar.
Does she play?
She does. She has a little bit more of an ear for it than I do. She shreds. I need an instrument. I either need a guitar that's got colored buttons on it, or I need an instrument that you don't have to tune, like drums.
Right. Well, they make those little boxes that those tuner.
I'm so bad with it.
Jack Black was kind of a late bloomer, right? Didn't he come to it?
I think that's true. I think he did not know how to play guitar when they started.
Wow.
You can kind of tell if you hear, because Kyle just kind of plays, and then Jack just sort of randomly throws a couple chords in here and there. But he got better. He definitely buckled down and learned some stuff.
I guess there's hope.
There's still hope. We could start yet. You never know. Where there's life, there is hope.
Gary, what say you?
So Nirvana has a shite ton of good songs. That don't say, Teen Spirit and Blue.
If you need a song that the title isn't in the song, look no further than like alternative 90s grunge. Like that was the... Like one of the cliches of that time and place.
Exactly.
Like,
we don't, yeah.
You don't need hooks.
Stinking hooks like that.
Yeah, man.
But
chorus, fuck that.
This is one that was, I think it was a B-side, but it got a lot of radio play. And it's so genius. It's called Sliver. And it's kind of, it's like a little story song. Kurt's a kid and his parents are going out for the night. So he's staying at the grandparents' house. So it's like, it's kind of like Sliver and like a little sense of like, it's a little slice of life. Also like it's like very short song. And also like, it's very like, it's kind of like a little painful memory, uh-huh, that sort of thing. So it's kind of a genius title, but rather than, Grandma Take Me Home, which appears to be the chorus. So, why don't you just hear some of this on Rock Salad? Nirvana.
Sounds great. like that bass.
Mom and Dad went to a show. It dropped me off at Grandpa Joe's. I kicked and screamed, so please go.
He had to eat his dinner there.
That's great.
That's what I was saying. So by the end of it, you know, like it gets getting more and more intense, and by the end, like, you know, he wakes up and he's like in his parents' arms. He's like, right. Oh, at last he's home, and you're just like, oh, thank God. So it really, like, just kind of that a thread into that his childhood loneliness is just like he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, I'm a Nirvana novice, so I've never really heard his voice. The way he sings there at the beginning,
really?
There's a nice tone in his voice there.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Screaming, you mean?
Not screaming, yeah.
That's true. What do you got?
Well, I'm going to go to 73. I'm going to go for a Led Zeppelin song. Zeppelin also has they have a lot of songs where, like, Cashmere, they don't say Cashmere in that song. And there's
Doesn't it go, Cashmere.
So I picked
Dire Maker. Do they say,
Dire Maker. They don't say it in that one.
We've been over this. It's Jermaker.
Yeah.
Jermaker.
You're a real Jermaker.
Well, I picked a song called The Crunge.
The Crunge, yes.
Never heard this.
Oh, this is a funky Zeppelin.
Yeah, this is a funky Zeppelin.
This is like an audition for James Brown's band.
I know, really. Well, as much as I like Led Zeppelin, they do like to take from other people and put it in their songs. That's the crunge.
They borrow liberally.
I don't even know what some songs, the word's not in the song, but you're like, oh, I can understand why they named it that. But this is just, I don't know, they were just done and go, I don't know, call it crunge.
It's more of a feeling.
More of a feeling, yeah. More of a crunge.
More of a feeling.
That crunge. Well, boys, it's been a long, long time since we had any crazy Beach Boys on the show.
Oh, boy.
And this is from...
is someone coming in? Is someone going to walk through that door right now?
Yeah, that's right.
Is Brian Wilson
walking?
Brian
Wilson, come on in.
How crazy would that be?
Brian, you can't park in the middle of Ventura.
What?
This is from when he's like really... Just at the start of his, like, you know, giving up the ghost and just like, you know, Brian, we'll give you a cheeseburger if you write a song. Like, okay. So, beautiful melody, crazy story. This is just like, it's basically his to-do list. And then, like, some friend is going to come over probably to bring the cheeseburger. So, he gives them directions to the house. So, I think this is off of the album, Friends, and it's called Busy Doing Nothing. If you could start this about 24-ish in, Matt, we'll find out exactly how to get to Brian Wilson's house. And it goes.
The afternoon was filled up with phone calls. What a hot, sticky day. If you decide to come, you're gonna do it right. Drive for a couple miles, you see a sign and turn left for a couple blocks. Next is mine, you'll turn left on a little road. It's a bumpy one, you'll see a white fence. Move the gate and drive through on the left side.
Oh my God,
Jesus, give him a cheeseburger to shut him up.
My house somewhere. Keep them busy while I wait.
Sounds like something that they'd play on Sesame Street.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's called Busy Doing Nothing.
That's Mike Love singing that?
It sounded Carlish, I think.
Yeah,
Carl,
that didn't sound like Mike Love.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Yeah, he wanted nothing to do with that.
And the name of that song again?
Busy Doing Nothing.
What would you call it?
The directions. Get a pen.
That's I can't believe how long he took to describe how to get to his house without giving any street names.
Any street names.
No, nothing helpful. No, like, landmarks. Just a bunch of nonsense.
This might have been before Thomas Guide.
Yeah.
He was doing the best he could.
Okay, this song I'm going to play, it's by the Ramones. It's from 92, from the album Mondo Bizarro. This is a song where it's one of those ones where the song title, you know why they named it this, because the song's about the song's actually about the PMRC, led by Tipper Gore.
Oh, okay.
And the song is called Censor Shit.
Oh.
Ah, Tipper. I don't know if you could hear the first line, but he says, "Ah, Tipper, come on. Ain't you been getting it on? Ask Ozzy Zappa or me. We'll show you what it's like to be free." And then he talks about the SNL deficit and how this is the PMRC was just a big thing to hide the real problems of the world.
Totally.
So that's a great man. Fucking,
so ridiculous.
Fucking it's, Joey.
That
censor shit.
Political.
So stupid that there was, congressional hearings, wasting their time. That, the baseball steroids, yep. Things like, come on.
I still remember Frank Zappa at those hearings when he said, "To my knowledge, there is no word or string of words that you can say that will make someone kill themselves."
Even like, go kill yourself.
It's amazing that he had to say that.
I know. And it was like, great to see Dee Snider there and saying that, I've never done drugs. I've never done this. I've never done that. And this is ridiculous.
I thought it was a little inappropriate that he was driven in on the hood of a classic car with a smoke machine
that's
running.
That's how we roll.
It was like, this is a court of, well, no, it's Congress, but still.
Look, that guy's not going to take
respect.
It. He's not going to take it.
He's not going to take it anymore. It's hard to think that Tipper Gore and Al Gore aren't married anymore.
Oh, what? That's right. They're not.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They got divorced. Remember like he was...
He put her in a lockbox.
He put her in a lock. He was pulling moves on that masseuse in Portland.
Oh, boy. I didn't... Yeah. Yeah, I missed a lot. Was this during his log cabin beard phase?
Yeah, exactly.
Post-election.
He was a logger. He was logging.
Yeah.
Was that around... So that those hearings were in the late 80s, right? It was like 89 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. 86, this song was written in 92.
I remember when just that Ice-T album, Freedom of Speech, just watch what you say.
Exactly. Hey, watch it, you. With that, Preston.
Yeah, Preston's shining a light on his
dad. On his dad's face.
He's blinding us with Nintendo.
and you know, you put that sticker on the album. You know what that tells kids? I want
this
that.
This is going to be awesome.
Stupid idiots.
Yeah. Lyrics. That led to a big t-shirt. Everybody had that t-shirt, huh? Did Matt, I bet you had one of those explicit lyrics t-shirts.
I didn't. I went with the Rodney King LAPD, we treat you like a king t-shirt instead.
Yeah. Nice.
Sticking it to the man.
Political.
Well, sir, I've got probably the most famous group of Armenian Americans who aren't named Kardashian. Next up. This is another good example of like, why the hell is that song called that? What are you going to call it? This is crazy. Man, if you...
Now, I just want to say, you cannot prove that they don't say this.
I know, you can't prove what they say anything there. If you could take it to about 36. Okay. This is a System of a Down, and the song is called Chop Suey! With an exclamation point.
You wanted to.
Wait, I think I heard it.
You wanted to.
You wanted to.
Chop suey.
Chop suey. My favorite Edward Hopper painting is called Chop Suey. What? I never heard that before. I think what happened there is because, you know, it's about death and religion and stuff like that. And they came out just right after like 9/11 or right before 9/11.
Right.
And it was like on that list of songs, like, don't play these. These are inflammatory. So they said, fuck it. We will call it Chop Suey. I think they just pulled it.
We will call it Cop Killer. I mean, Chop Suey.
Yeah, exactly. Death to America. So they fascinate me. I don't like, they seem to hate music or something. I don't know what it is, but they're passionate.
Yeah, they are.
They're passionate about their hate of music.
Exactly.
Punishing instruments and eardrums.
Right.
Across the country.
But that's a good example, I think, of the topic today, awesome. Which is songs that don't
identity
have
identity crisis.
Identity crisis.
This is a, I'm going to play a song by U2. This is probably a, this is a U2 song that everyone knows, mm-hmm. and yet if you ask someone, what's this song called?
It's a title track, right?
They would probably say, I don't know what the song's called.
It's a title track if it's a Michael Jackson album.
That's right.
Okay, never mind.
This is from the Unforgettable Fire. This is a song called Bad.
Okay. I was thinking of the song Unforgettable Fire, which also...
Twist and
now, Matt, if I played this song and said, what's this called? Do you know it's called Bad? I don't either.
And can never remember it.
Nope.
I was thinking of it as the Cajun Man song. Some friend pointed out that, like, at the end there, it's like the Adam Sandler Cajun Man. Desperation, isolation.
But this is one of my favorite U2 songs, and I can never remember what it's called. Maybe now I will.
Should have been called Surrender, maybe.
Yeah.
I wonder why they call it Bad.
Yeah, it's a terrible song.
Let's hear that Cajun Man.
They could have called it Wide Awake. They could have called it I'm Not Sleeping.
Yeah, Wide Awake, that would have been good.
Did I miss it?
No, I think you're good.
I'm not quite sure of the... Or is that the very end?
It's the very end.
Very nice, man.
Oh. There you go. There.
Chop suey! Chop suey!
Oh.
Isolation! Desolation! Let it go.
What? Talk about a thin gravy on which to base a character.
Oh, man.
God bless.
Well, he was riding high on the off of a red hooded sweatshirt.
That's true.
If I could write a song about a sweatshirt, I could do anything.
Opera Man was a great character.
Yeah. Why no Opera Man movie?
Yeah.
I never liked Opera Man.
You know what I really liked was that Canteen Boy. That was deep. That was kind of deep.
Knowing Adam Sandler, there will be a Canteen Boy movie before there'd be an Opera Man movie.
Let's hope.
He'll take the character that's... I don't know. God.
We should have seen it coming. Now that you're mentioning all these characters, I liked him, but those are...
You liked Adam Sandler because you felt that that you could be Sandler.
Yeah, maybe that is part of it.
Yeah, you're like, well, that guy would be. Yeah, I would know that. That guy would live down the hall from me in college.
But like the early movies had just the absurdity was so sublime to me. Right. Like it was insanely just walking down a staircase and he just stops for no reason and starts singing Culture Club and that's a whole scene.
Right. Done. Printed. One take.
Perfect. In the can.
Gary, what do you got for us?
You're familiar with the band, with the one hit wonder group Soft Cell? Mm-hmm. If I say Soft Cell, what do you say? When I say Soft Cell, you say
Tainted Love.
Exactly. But they did have other songs. This was a staple of modern rock radio in the 80s, and it's kind of disappeared. Like you don't really hear it so much anymore. It's called It's a Mug's Game, and it's kind of a it's kind of like that Beach Boys song. It's kind of like a day in the life of like a disaffected London youth in the 80s.
By the way, day in the life, they don't say day in the life in that song.
That's very true.
Yeah.
See, there's another example.
Yep.
But in this Mug's Game, so it's kind of like it's kind of a less sublime day in the life, where it's, you know, teenagers going through and he's having problems. And we're going to skip ahead to 3:32, the part where he's having some unprotected sex and things go wrong.
Uh-oh.
And doesn't sound like Tainted Love at all.
You find yourself having sex in the back of a car and the girl underneath doesn't care.
Are you sure this isn't Chip Pope's character, Our Romance?
This is Our Romance!
Brian Wilson write this?
And then they'll see a bumpy road and there's a white picket fence.
Oh my lord, Gary. You don't like this song, do you?
It used to be on the radio a lot. But,
okay, that was not my question.
So there's just like a fondness there, but it's not like I don't sit around jamming to this, but I was just trying to think of examples of.
Well,
you know,
no, then you found a good one. Wait, you found a bad example.
But it does point out the fact that we should have our romance on.
Yes, we should.
That guy is
absolutely.
Genius. Yeah,
but that it seems like you took this category to mean songs that the title isn't in the song and it's unlistenable.
Oh,
that seems to be what's happening here.
That's a whole different. Maybe. Songs that are unlistenable is great.
Maybe songs that are unlistenable. I'm gonna write that down.
How do we do that?
Man, I gotta tell you what, I'm looking at my list. I pulled out some of my favorite artists for this list today. I got no one else's but me. This is The Who from their 1982 album It's Hard. This is a song called Cooks County.
Oh.
And they do not say Cooks County in the song, because how could you get Cooks County in any possible lyric? Go ahead.
Can't be done.
Maybe they're suffering in Cooks County.
People are suffering. I'll say it again. People are suffering. I'll say it again. So remember, when you're looking for trouble, that trouble is already busy with weaker men.
Weaker Man? Nicolas Cage?
That's good.
People are hungry.
Are they talking about that the fictional hospital in Cooks County?
Maybe that's it.
From ER?
I think this is something in London. There might be a Cooks County somewhere in England.
Possibly, but...
where people are just downtrodden.
The Who, probably the most classic example of this topic.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I know what you're going to say.
Teenage Wasteland.
Bob O'Reilly is what that song's called.
Have we established why and the what of Bob O'Reilly?
You know what? That's a good question, Gary.
It's actually pronounced Jamaica O'Reilly.
Oh, right. Well, you know, a lot of these songs, they're like one way where you get a song without the title and the thing is like it'll be like one of those identifiers, like it's ode to somebody, or so and so blues, or you know, song, or the blank song,
right?
This song, that
the sweater song.
The sweater song.
They do
exactly.
Say sweater in that, but
and Pat's playing The Who. I got to play some Decemberists.
Yes, yes, that's Gary's go-to.
That's my go-to. They have they have the Calamity song, the Baby song, the Rake song, the Raincoat song, the Summer song. But we are going to hear the Apology song, and there's a little story of an apology. Check this out.
I'm really sorry, Stephen, but your bicycle's been stolen. I was watching it for you till you came back in the fall. I guess I didn't do such a good job after all. I was feeling really sorry, Stephen, and I spent all morning grieving. And everybody's saying that you'll take the news gracefully. Somehow I don't think I'll be getting off that easily.
Maybe instead of spending the morning grieving, maybe look around, put up a few flyers or something. Then you write this song. You know, if I was Steven, I'd be mad. It goes on to say, like, he left it unlocked in front of the grocery co-op, of course.
Oh, nice.
And someone made off with it. And it gets better. The bicycle's name is Madeline. Don't you want to strangle somebody?
Yeah.
It's a little precious.
It reminds me of a story of a friend of mine. His roommate had like a $5,000 bike or some crazy bike, and it got stolen like the first week they moved.
You shouldn't have spent $5,000 on
a
bike.
Crazy, right? And
you're talking like a pedal bike, not a motor
cycle. Right, yeah. And so I could be off on the price, but it was exorbitantly expensive. So then another friend of theirs was walking down the street and he sees a guy with the bike.
Oh my gosh.
And he's like, whoa, that's my buddy's bike. So he goes up and goes, hey, I'll give you $20 for that bike. And the guy took it.
Wow.
And he got the bike back.
That's great.
Or it was like 40. He might have given him 40, but it was like...
And he sold it back to his friend for $4,000.
It's nice. Like such a weird thing, because if you just went, stop thief, that guy would have just took, you know, totally just taken off.
He played that right.
You just like give him $40 and the guy thinks he won.
Yeah, he gets
but
his math.
Doesn't realize what an idiot he is. He could have made thousands off that thing.
Boy, that is a sinking feeling when your bike's missing.
Oh, my Schwinn Caliente was stolen from the front yard of Bridget Agner's house when I was in 11th grade, and it was so disappointing.
literally became a hot bike.
Hey, I got your answer to Baba O'Reilly.
Oh, great.
In demo version, it was the working title was Teenage Wasteland, but then the title of the song is derived from the combination of the song's philosophical and musical influences. Mayor Baba, Mayor Bob, M-E-H-E-R. Uh-huh. How do you say that? Mayor?
M-E-H-E-R.
Yeah.
John Terry.
John Mayer.
And Terry Riley.
Oh.
So, hey, thanks, Pete Townsend.
All right. I like
Just call it Teenage Wasteland. actually, go into your iTunes, find your Baba O'Reilly, and rename it for yourself.
Just name it yourself.
And you know what? Add some original cover art while you're in there.
Oh, good idea.
I found that a lot of songs that don't have the title of the song in the song are songs that have, like, the incident on 57th
oh, right.
Street by Springsteen,
yeah.
or The Story of, or yeah. or The Ballad of. So yeah. I have from Cheap Trick's debut album. This is called, the original title was The Ballad of Richard Speck.
Oh, wow.
But the record label said no. So it's called The Ballad of...
Wait. Who's Richard Speck?
He killed all the nurses
in
Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So they changed it to The Ballad of TV Violence. Cheap Trick.
Dude.
Some love, I need some love. Give me your love, give me your love. I need a knife to give me your wife. I need a knife, give me your life, give me your life. I need a gun to handle some fun.
I'm pretty sure we all met our wives like that, right? By knife point.
Yeah.
Of course.
I need a knife to give me a wife. I think that's how it works, right?
I was giving a knife point presentation at this seminar.
Fantastic.
Very effective. What album's that on?
That's on the first Cheap Trick album, just called Cheap Trick.
That was a little leitmotif on Mad Men this year, was Sally got obsessed with the Richard Speck.
Oh, yes, that's right. So they should have incorporated the song that would be recorded 17 years later.
They should have. She's a good actress. She's going to be around, I think. I think we're going to see her
as the little girl?
Adult, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. At first, she was not good. Now she is good.
She's getting better, and she's actually surpassed January Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Passed her on the right.
Yeah.
So I could not, this is my last song, I could not let this topic pass without paying respect to this one band who has raised this sort of song naming to a high art, this non-lyrical titulation.
Is this guided by voices?
No.
Okay.
But they would have been good for
all right.
this.
Yeah, they must have a lot of these too, huh?
Totally. But this is a group called Panic at the Disco, which, because they have that internal punctuation, like I don't...
Panic!
Panic at the Disco. But...
Disco!
They are crazy with this. Of course, their hit song, I Write Sins, Not Tragedies, Nails for Breakfast, Tax for Snacks. And of course, there's a good reason these tables are numbered, honey. You just haven't thought of it yet. All song titles from their first album alone.
You've given lots of reasons why I don't like this band.
But I think you might kind of like them. They're kind of... Like, you know, that 2000s emo punky pop sort of thing.
Okay.
This song is called The Only Difference Between Martyrdom and Suicide is Press Coverage on Rock Solid.
Sit tight, I'm gonna need you to keep time. Come on, just snap, snap, snap your fingers for me. Good, good, now we're making some progress. Come on, just tap, tap, tap your toes to the beat. And I believe this may call for a proper introduction. Well, don't you see?
Okay, I do like this.
Swear to seek it up, it's still swear to listen. We're still so young, desperate for attention. I aim to be your eyes, don't be boys, don't be wise. Swear to seek it up, it's still swear to listen. We're still so young, desperate for attention. I aim to be.
Something going on there, huh?
Now let me ask you something.
Yeah.
It's totally cool to like Panic at the Disco, right, guys?
I think so. Is it? What do you think? I'm not sure.
And yet it's not cool to like Rob Thomas and Matchbox 20, and I think that they're right in the same
analogous
musical area.
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I think they're closer to, what's Jared Leto's band?
Oh, 30 Seconds to Mars.
30 Seconds to Mars?
Kind of, that's the vibe I get.
Yeah, kind of closer to them even more than like Fall Out Boy or who's our friend Tony Thaxton?
And Fall Out Boy is not cool to listen to.
Not anymore.
It, right? Ever?
It seems dated now. It was only from last decade.
Yeah, some 41. Some of those bands are just like not are passe now.
Yellow Card.
Although everyone still loves Limp Bizkit.
Hey, I know. They can't shut up about Limp Bizkit.
I got two more I'll play out. This is the title track from Van Halen's first album with Sammy Hagar. The song is called 5150. Obviously, if you can work 5150 into your lyric, good luck for you. But
Way you could do it, count backwards from 52.
What is their little joke? What is 5150?
Well, 5150 is the police code for a criminally insane person. Right. But in this song, the chorus says, I'll meet you halfway, but it's always something like it's one more for you. So 5150 instead of 5050. But let's give some props to Sammy Hagar. Van Halen. And there's Eddie.
Would it be 5149? I guess it's, that's too much math.
That guy calls himself the Red Rocker because he likes the color red. So let's.
He's not the red math teacher.
You got to give him a pass. Yeah,
I still think it's because of his hair.
And I started with a song, the song Paranoid, which is a song everyone knows, but Paranoid's not in the title. I'm going to end with a song that everyone knows. This is Rush, The Spirit of Radio.
Yes. Invisible Airwaves. Love that song so hard.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Nice.
You know that song too, right, Matt?
Yep.
Hey, one more.
Me, I just got the progressive rock package.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so you were doomed.
Yeah, there's some new genres that are scaring me. Like, there's a Glee genre now.
Yeah, the Glee one. That one's kind of easy.
But don't they just sing songs that everyone else sings?
Exactly.
All right. Hey, let's end it with one more contest. I have the new 2-CD set from Art Garfunkel called The Singer. Last year, Columbia Records released something called Songwriter, which was Paul Simon's solo songs. This is a promo CD. So I got the two discs and I got a big press release thing printed up and it says not for sale, but that doesn't mean I can't give it away.
Give it away.
So
the first person who sends $25.
That's
selling.
I'm going to go with first answer on this too. Whoever can tell me there was a Paul Simon solo album that was supposed to be a Simon and Garfunkel reunion album, but at the last minute, Simon pulled Garfunkel's vocals off of it and just made it a Simon solo album. First person that tells me the name of that Paul Simon album is going to get some Art Garfunkel music and a press kit.
Disgrace land. It would do such a thing.
I love it. Matt, you got a play out song for us?
This is a hard one to just do on the spur of the moment.
Okay.
I got a few extras if you want to choose.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's do that.
What do you guys? Okay,
Should have prepped.
I'll put it up for vote. Do you want Portions for Foxes?
Why don't I just, choose from what you have.
My Back Pages. Okay.
My Back Pages.
My Back Pages, The Birds. Oh, how about that?
Back Pages, my ass.
Or that phone booth. I'm at a payphone. No.
Oh, boy.
No.
That's a big no.
No.
I was going to go Riley Kiley, but...
Okay, yeah, let's do that. That's good. That's good. Portions for Foxes, because she says, I'm bad news. I'm bad news is the chorus, but then, no.
And as the song plays, I'm gonna give a shout-out to a couple people who like to post on our Facebook page, Michael Rogers and Thomas Tate. Thanks for listening. Like us on Facebook, write a nice review on iTunes, and we'll see you next show. Thanks, bye. Gary.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Matt.
And, thanks, Matt.
Yeah, join the community, write an iTunes review, and tell all your friends how much you enjoy Rock Solid.